Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Let's continue on today with our adventure of reading Bowser the Hound, written by Thornton W. Burgess. In addition to continuing our adventure, we also have some great news. Last night, John said that I should read some Sherlock Holmes for March is Reading Month. I think that sounds stupendous, my dear Watson. I'm pretty sure Sherlock Holmes said that somewhere. Maybe not. Either way, I think that's a great suggestion, so after Bowser, prepare for some Sherlock Holmes. Nothing better than a good old detective story to inspire some reading during Reading Month. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff, we have a liftoff. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 26, Red Wits and Black Wits. This fact you'll find is always so. He's quick of wit who fools a crow. Bowser the Hound. There is no greater flatterer in the green forest or on the green meadows than Blacky the Crow when he hopes to gain something thereby. His tongue is so smooth that it is a wonder it does not drip oil. He is crafty, is Blacky. But these same things are true of Reddy Fox. No one ever yet had a chance to accuse Reddy Fox of lacking in sharp wits. Mistakes he makes, as everybody does, but Reddy's wits are always keen and active. Now Reddy knew perfectly well that Blacky wanted something of him, and this was why he was saying such pleasant things. Blacky the Crow knew that Reddy knew this thing, and that if he would make use of Reddy as he hoped to, he must contrive to keep Reddy wholly in the dark as to what he wanted done. So as they sat there, Reddy Fox on the snow with his tail curled around his feet to keep them warm, and Blacky the Crow in the top of a little tree above Reddy's head, they were playing a sort of game. It was Red Wits against Black Wits. Reddy was trying to outguess Blacky, and Blacky was trying to outguess Reddy, and both were enjoying it. People with sharp wits always enjoy matching their wits against other sharp wits. When Reddy Fox said that in spite of his fine appearance, he had forgotten when last he had had a good meal, Blacky pretended to think he was joking. "You surprise me," he said. "Whatever is the matter with my good friend Reddy that he goes hungry when he no longer has anything to fear from Bowser the Hound? By the way, I saw Bowser the other day." At this, just for an instant, Reddy's eyes flew wide open. Then they half closed again until they were just two yellow slits. But quickly as he closed them, Blacky had seen that startled surprise. "Yes," said Blacky, "I saw Bowser the other day, or at least someone who looked just like him. Wouldn't you like to have him back here, Reddy?" "Most decidedly no," replied Reddy with great promptness. "A dog is a nuisance. He isn't of any use in the wide, wide world." "Not even to drive off Old Man Coyote?" asked Blacky slyly, for he knew that more than once Bowser the Hound had helped Reddy out of trouble with Old Man Coyote. Reddy pretended not to hear this. "I don't believe you saw Bowser," said he. "I don't believe anybody will ever see Bowser again. I hope not, anyway." And Blacky knew by the way Reddy said this that it would be quite useless to ask Reddy to help get Bowser home. Chapter 27, The Artfulness of Blacky. who runs in circles, never gets far, Bowser the Hound. To be artful is to be very clever. It is to do things in a way so clever that people will not see what you are really doing. No one can be more artful than Blacky the Crow when he sets out to be. Blacky was smart enough not to let Reddy know that he was seeking Reddy's help for Bowser. He soon found out that Reddy would not knowingly help the least little bit, so he decided at once that the only thing for him to do was to get Reddy to help unsuspectingly. He changed the subject very abruptly. "How are the chickens at Farmer Brown's?" inquired he. Reddy looked up and grinned. "They seem to be in just as good health as ever," said he. "So far as I can judge, Farmer Brown's boy seems to be terribly suspicious. He locks them up at night so tight that not even Shadow the Weasel could get his nose inside that hen house." Blacky's eyes twinkled, but he took care that Reddy should not see them. "Farmer Brown's boy is different from some folks I know," said he. "How's that?" demanded Reddy Fox. "Why," replied Blacky, "there is a certain farmyard I know of where the hens are not kept shut up at all in the daytime, but run around where they please. I see them every day when I'm flying over. They certainly are fine-looking hens. I don't think I've ever seen fatter ones. Some of them are so fat that they can hardly run." As Reddy Fox listened, a look of eagerness crept into his eyes, and his mouth began to water. He just couldn't help it. "Where did you say these hens are?" he asked, trying to speak carelessly. "I didn't say," replied Blacky, turning his head aside to hide a grin. "It is a long way from here, Reddy, so I don't believe you would really be interested." "That all depends," replied Reddy. "I would go a long way if it were worthwhile. I don't suppose you noticed if there were any dogs about where those hens are." Blacky pretended not to hear this. "I've often thought," said he, "of you and Mrs. Reddy as I have looked down at those fat hens. It is too bad that they are so far away." Chapter 28. Reddy Fox Dreams of Chickens. It's a poor watch dog who sleeps with both eyes closed, Bowser the Hound. Reddy Fox watched Blacky the Crow grow smaller and smaller until he was just a black speck in the distance. Finally, he disappeared. Reddy looked very thoughtful. He looked that way because he was thoughtful. In fact, Reddy was doing a lot of hard thinking. He was thinking about those chickens Blacky had told him of. The more he thought of them, the hungrier he grew. You see, Reddy had been having rather a hard time to get enough to eat. "Yes, sir," said Reddy to himself, "I would go a long, long distance to get a good plump hen. I wish I knew just where that farm is that black rascal talked about. I wonder if he has gone that way now. If I were sure that he has, I would make a little journey in that direction myself, but I'm not sure. That black rascal flies all over the country. That farm may lie in the direction he has gone now, and it may be in quite the opposite direction. Somehow, I've got to find out in just what direction it is." Reddy yawned, for he had been out all night and he was sleepy. He decided that the best thing he could do would be to get a good rest. One must always be fit if one is to get on in this life. The harder one must work, the more fit one should keep, and a proper amount of sleep is one of the most necessary things in keeping fit. So Reddy curled up to sleep. Hardly had his eyes closed when he began to dream. You see, he had been thinking so hard about those fat hens, and he was so hungry for one of them, that right away he began to dream of fat hens. It was a beautiful dream. At least, it was a beautiful dream to Reddy. Fat hens were all about him. They were so fat that they could hardly walk. Not only were they fat, but they seemed to think that their one object in life was to fill the stomachs of hungry foxes, for they just stood about waiting to be caught. Never in all his life had Reddy Fox known anything so wonderful as was that dream. There were no dogs to worry him. There were no hunters with dreadful guns. All he had to do was to reach out and help himself to as many fat hens as he wanted. He ate and ate and ate, all in his dream, you know, and when he could eat no more, he started for home. When he started for home, the fat hens that were left started along with him. He led a procession of fat hens straight over to his home in the old pasture. Just imagine how Reddy Fox felt when at last he awoke and there was not so much as a feather from a fat hen anywhere about, while his stomach fairly ached with emptiness. Chapter 29. Reddy tries to arouse Blackie's pity. Trust a fox only as far as you can see him, and lock the chickens up before you do that. Bowser the Hound. All the next night, as Reddy Fox hunted and hunted for something to eat, he kept thinking of that dream of fat hens, and he kept wondering how he could get Blackie the Crow to tell him just where that farm with fat hens was. Blackie, on his part, had spent a whole day wondering how he could induce Reddy Fox to make that long journey over to where Bowser the Hound was a prisoner of kindness. Blackie was smart enough to know that if he seemed too anxious for Reddy to make that long journey, Reddy would at once suspect something. He knew well enough that if Reddy had any idea that Bowser the Hound was over there, nothing would tempt him to make the trip. Early the next morning, just as on the morning before, Blackie stopped over by Reddy's house. This time, Reddy was already home. Actually, he was waiting for Blackie, though he wouldn't have had Blackie know it for the world. As soon as he saw Blackie coming, he lay down on his doorstep and pretended not to see Blackie at all. "Good morning, Reddy," said Blackie, as he alighted in the top of a little tree close by. Reddy raised his head as if it were all he could do to lift it. "Good morning, Blackie," said he in a feeble voice. Blackie looked at him sharply. "What's the matter, Reddy?" he demanded. "You seem to be feeling badly." Reddy sighed. It was a long, doleful sigh. "I am feeling badly, Blackie," said he. "I never felt worse in my life. The truth is, I... Reddy paused. "You what?" demanded Blackie, looking at Reddy more sharply than ever. "I am starving," said Reddy very feebly. "I certainly shall starve to death unless I can find some way of getting at least one good meal soon. You have no idea, Blackie, how dreadful it is to be hungry all the time." Again, Reddy sighed, and followed this with a second sigh, and then a third sigh. Blackie looked behind him so that Reddy might not see the twinkle in his eyes. For Blackie understood perfectly what Reddy was trying to do. Reddy wasn't fooling him a bit. When he looked back at Reddy, he was very grave. He was doing his very best to look very sympathetic. "I'm right sorry to hear this, Reddy," said he. "I certainly am. I've been hungry myself more than once. It seems a pity that you should be starving here, when over on that farm I told you about yesterday are fat hens to be had for the taking. If you were not so weak, I would be tempted to show you where they are." Chapter 30. Blackie the Crow is All Pity. People who think that they are fooling others very often discover that they have been fooling themselves. Bowser the Hound. To have seen and heard Blacky the Crow as he talked to Reddy Fox, you would have thought there was nothing under the sun in his heart or mind but pity. "Yes, sir," said he, "I certainly would be tempted to show you where those fat hens are if you were not too weak. I just can't bear to see an old friend starve. It is too bad that those fat hens are so far away. I feel sure that one of them would make you quite yourself again."
Don't talk about them," said Reddy feebly. "If I could have just one fat hen, that is all I would ask. Are they so very far from here?"
Blacky nodded his head vigorously. "Yes," said he, "they are a long way from here. They are such a long way that I'm afraid you are too weak to make the journey. If you were quite yourself, you could do it nicely, but for one in your condition, it is, I fear, altogether too long a journey." "It wouldn't do any harm to try it, perhaps," suggested Reddy in a hesitating way. "It is no worse to starve to death in one place than another, and I never was one to give up without trying. If you don't mind showing me the way, Brother Blacky, I would at least like to try to reach that place where the fat hens are." "Of course, I cannot keep up with you. In fact, I couldn't if I were feeling well and strong. Perhaps you can tell me just how to find that place, and then I needn't bother you at all." Blacky pretended to be lost in thought while Reddy watched him anxiously. Finally, Blacky spoke. "It certainly makes my heart ache to see you in such a condition, Brother Reddy," said he. "I tell you what I'll do. You know crows are famous for flying in a straight line when we want to get to any place in particular. I will fly straight towards that farm where the fat hens are. You follow along as best as you can. In your feeble condition, it will take you a long time to get anywhere near there. This will give me time to go hunt for my own dinner, and then I will come back until I meet you. After that, I will show you the way. Now I will start along and you follow." Reddy got to his feet as if it were hard work. Then Blacky spread his wings and started off, cawing encouragement. All the time inside, he was laughing to think that Reddy Fox should think he had fooled him. "He forgot to ask again if there is a dog there," chuckled Blacky to himself. As for Reddy, no sooner was Blacky well on his way than he started off at his swiftest pace. There was nothing weak or feeble in the way Reddy ran then. He was in a hurry to get to those fat hens.
"Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind."
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Grapes, and the audio clips were provided by NASA. For more information, to contact us, or to download podcast extras, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com. Also, if you haven't done so, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle's earned its place in history and has come to a final stop.